It's awesome, and that's the cry of our heart, isn't it? We want to see God. We want to see Him, and we see Him through the stories shared through the team from Kenya. We see Him as kids stand up and want to be involved in what we're doing here as a church, and they want to participate. We see God in so many ways, and we want to see Him more and more. And it's wonderful to be able to remind ourselves of that through a song like that. You know, and as a church, one of the things that we want to be doing is we want to be communicating in everything that we do, really, that everyone matters to God, because that's what we believe. We believe that every human being is made in the image of God and has value because God has created them. And this morning we are going to be focusing particularly on kids and families, but I wanted to start this morning by just saying and reiterating our core belief that everyone matters to God and therefore should shape the way we see them. There are a number of times in the life of Jesus where He makes a particular point about children, and that as His followers we are to accept, welcome and value, and even in some instances follow the example of kids. You know, Mark chapter 9, we find the disciples are walking along the road, and they're walking along the road with Jesus, and they're wondering about kind of the power dynamics and the status in the kingdom. And they're wondering, you know, who's going to be the greatest? How is this all going to unfold? And they wonder this as they walk along the road. And when they reach the place where they're staying, Jesus, He lets them know that He's heard what's been going on and what they've been saying. And Jesus says these words. He says, "Whoever welcomes a child in My name welcomes Me." And in John's Gospel, it also adds, not only Me, but also Him who has sent Me. The disciples were arguing about who was number one, who was the most important in the kingdom. And Jesus knows what they've been saying, even though they didn't want to admit it. And He says, greatness looks like putting yourself last. If you really want to know what greatness looks like, it looks like putting yourself last. And then Jesus doesn't talk any further about greatness. What He then talks about is welcome. He talks about welcoming a child in the same way and is welcoming Him. And this is not just an important truth for each of us to grasp in our own life, but it's also important for us as a collective. You know, as we welcome kids, we are saying, "You belong," which is a message that you can't over-communicate that. You know, there's a bunch of posters and stuff that I've got on my computer that, you know, one of them is kindness is free, sprinkle it everywhere, you know. Communicating that someone belongs and is valued, you can't over-communicate that. That never gets old. You know, you're not at risk at over-communicating that. The same with encouragement. You can't over-encourage someone. It's just not possible. And you know, when we're thinking about kids and how we welcome them as a church, it's crucial and important because it's well known that the majority of adults who are followers of Jesus made some sort of decision of faith at a young age. You know, think about it like modeling clay or setting or concrete that's setting. It's easier to mold when it's before it's set, right? Once it's set, it's then a lot harder to change. And in the same way, as humans adapt and develop, that we adapt and develop most easily as kids. As an adult, it's hard to change and be refined. What could have been achieved with a smooth stroke of the hand now needs a chisel to tap away at the rough edges. And as most grown-ups can probably attest to, that hurts. That hurts. It's significant because we are all partnering with God in His plans and purposes. And that includes God's plans and purposes for our kids. See, God wants kids to flourish. God wants to see kids living in families and communities that are safe and nurturing, that they respond to God's love and are living by His word. That they're joining the body of Christ as active members. They're building God's kingdom and they're making the world a better place. That they're flourishing in all of that. That is God's desire. That is His heart. They become the unique people that God has made them to be. God wants children to flourish. There's a couple of Old Testament verses that point to God's heart in all this that I want to share with you this morning. And the first is from Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54 verse 13. It's God's heart and vision through the prophet Isaiah. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. As they're taught by the Lord, they'll be filled with peace. And in Lamentations, we see the heartache of God when kids are not given the opportunity to flourish. And it says in Lamentations 2, verse 19, "Arise, cry out in the night, as the watches of the night begin. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to Him for the lives of your children who faint from hunger at every street corner." The writer's saying there, cry out, things are not as they should be. Kids are faint with hunger. They are not being nurtured. They are not safe. And that is not how it ought to be. And then in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus gives a pretty stark warning, doesn't he? In Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, he says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones." And in Mark chapter 10, we have that very familiar story of parents bringing kids to Jesus, wanting Him to take them in His arms and bless them. Because see, parents were desperate for their kids to be embraced by Jesus. They believed that Jesus would make a difference in their kids' lives. That's why they're bringing them along. And when Jesus was embracing and blessing these kids, He was making a powerful statement in a culture where children weren't nurtured or they were neglected and they were seen as being unimportant. Jesus was living out the truth that everyone matters to God. He was making a statement of value. And in this case of children, and by implication, all of us and each of us as human beings, he's taking what was known in that culture as the least of these, and he was placing immense value on them. And therefore, by implication, everyone as a human being. Jesus actually told them, so his disciples were trying to ward off these kids. They thought, Jesus is too busy for these little ones. Nah, this is no good at all. And so they're trying to keep them at bay. And Jesus told them, who were trying to stop the children coming to Him, don't ever send them away. Let the little children come to Me. And then He gives this kind of warning to His disciples. He says something along the lines of, no matter how big you grow, never grow up so much that you lose your child's heart, full of trust in God. Be like these children, Jesus said. They are the most important in God's kingdom. And you know, this value that Jesus shares with us, he shows us as an example. We can express this value to our kids by acknowledging them, seeing them through God's eyes. And so you might think about the kids around you in your sphere, within our church or within your neighbourhood. How well do I know the children around me? How well do I understand their world and allow their voice to be heard and acted upon? You know, as we walk alongside our kids, as we support them and we help them make sense of life and faith, and there are also ways that we live out this teaching as a church. So we can do it as individuals, we can do it as a church. You know, it's really crucial for us as a church to provide opportunities for our kids to hear about Jesus and to engage in Christian faith in ways that relate to them. We need to often acknowledge that what happens in our gatherings, particularly from the platform, is not aimed at engaging kids. It's important, even me standing here for the next 20 minutes talking, it's not aimed at engaging kids. We need to just acknowledge that and be real about that. But it's important for the faith development of children that they feel that this place welcomes them. They need to feel welcome. They need to know they belong. The way we welcome children in church directly affects the way they respond to the church and to God and to one another. You know, mornings like this where we kind of take stock a bit and think about it are important. And the way we include kids in communion, you know, is important because time spent with all generations together is important for everyone's faith development, including young children. The gathered church needs to be a welcoming space for kids, where the church family can draw alongside them to help them participate. It happens quite a bit, you know, where we just have to come alongside kids and explain, now we're going to be singing a few songs, and these songs are things that we believe, and we want to sing them out to God because we love Him and we are thankful for what He has done. And sometimes, you know, when I asked Emmerich to collect, if he wanted to help collect the offering, he's like, what's the offering? I'm like, okay, well, let's explain that and talk about how it's a people giving back to God, and when they're thankful, they give back to God through the church so that the church can continue to serve God. And so we need to be coming alongside our kids, all the kids around us in our church, and explaining and helping them to participate, not ignoring their question just because they've asked it the 11th time. We need to be coming alongside them and explaining to them the things that we're doing so they can feel they belong and they feel they can participate. Now, sometimes that's going to mean adapting or adding a layer to the way things are done. So from time to time, we've done these more focused talks and things for kids where they include pictures. We might explain the big words. But key to it all is relationship. You know, the best way for a kid to know God is to know someone who knows God. And some kids will never feel known by God until they are known by someone who knows God. That's our responsibility. As adults of this church, that's our responsibility. One way we specifically provide opportunity for kids to hear about Jesus and engage with the Christian faith in a way that relates to them is our Kids Church program I was sharing a bit about. So Kids Church runs during school term on a Sunday. We're all together for the first bracket of songs and communion if we're having it that week. And then the kids head out to the hall and participate in Kids Church. And that's one way that we provide an opportunity for kids to engage with Christian faith and to learn to know about Jesus. For us here at Lismore Baptist, the structure of Kids Church for many years has heavily relied on one person doing all the work. And, you know, this is unsafe and unsustainable, and it needs to change. We're hoping to have a collaborative effort to shape the next season of Kids Church. We want a team approach, and we want to see some exciting and significant changes occur. You know, the values which will shape this structure going forward for Kids Church, some of the values are these: that all people matter to God and all people need to hear about and from God in ways that engage with them with where they are at. So the incarnation is a wonderful example, a wonderful example for us to follow. God didn't sit off in the cosmos somewhere and expect us to meet him halfway to figure out who he was. No, he chose to enter into our world as one of us through the person of Jesus. He met us where we are at so we could know him. That's a model for us to then follow throughout life and throughout ministry. We need to meet people where they're at and find ways of the gospel and Jesus connecting with them where they're at. The same is true for kids. We need to meet them where they are at and help them engage with Christian faith. Partnership. Partnership with parents to see that their kids flourish in life and faith, whatever that looks like for them. I think for too long, and this is not just here, but across many churches, kids ministry is seen as a religious service that a church provides for parents, that they can send their kids along to. They don't have to worry about it. They don't have to think about it. They don't have to engage with it. They just send them along and you know, the kids do something, and I'm sure they're safe, and, you know, it'll be fine. What I'm saying for this next season of Kids Church, no, it's about partnership. As parents and grandparents and carers of kids, we are the primary disciples of our kids. And so Kids Church is about partnering with parents and grandparents and carers to see their kids flourish in life and faith. We want to help kids engage with God holistically through relationships, through the Bible, prayer, worship, and throughout the context of the broader church family. And finally, the value of appropriate support, training and development for individuals who are involved in Kids Church. Some of the values that I want to see kind of shape this next season of Kids Church. You know, there are things like there are opportunities and ways to be involved. You know, this might be running an activity or a game on a Sunday, reading a story or running a craft, or even preparing a craft during the week for someone else to run on the Sunday. We've got material and curriculum and stuff that we use, so you know, people aren't expected to come up with things from scratch. This is about partnership and about collaborating together for this new season of Kids Church. And so I guess at this point I want to prayerfully ask that you would consider being a part of a supported, resourced team in Kids Church, whether that's something for you. It is going to be a team ministry. There are going to be opportunities for a variety of people to be involved. As I said, it might be running a game or an activity, or it might be preparing craft during the week for the kids to do on a Sunday. There's a bunch of different ways, but it is going to be a team. We are going to get together and collaborate. We are going to be supported and trained and resourced to see the legacy of Kids Church in this church continue on for many years to come. But you know, the key that the key aspect of way and thinking back about that expressing that value that Jesus shared about welcoming and valuing kids. You know, the key way we express that actually doesn't happen in this building. It doesn't happen in these buildings. The key way that we express the teaching of Jesus to value and in some ways follow the example of kids actually happens at home. Since a child's home is the primary place of faith development, we need to be thinking about how we can together as a church equip and encourage families for this task in these early years. And again, it comes back to partnership. You know, it takes a village. you know, it's very common to hear those words, it takes a village to raise a child. But it does. But it also takes a village to raise a parent. And we should not be parenting in isolation. And we ought to be focusing on relationship over resources. There's heaps of resources out there, and some are good and helpful. But it needs to be focused more on relationship rather than just providing resources. Churches and parents partner together in God's work to see kids flourish in life and faith, whatever that looks like for them. You know, through what we say and what we do, we must equip parents and carers as the primary disciples of their kids. We need to be careful that we don't usurp that role as a church. Often it's the church that takes over that role, overtly or inadvertently. As I said, sometimes we kind of get over the top with our religious services that we provide, and we say, we can do it all. Just bring your kids to us. Don't worry about it. We've got this. And we usurp that role as primary disciples of those kids, and we disempower parents in their role. And over time, that becomes a conditioned part of church and family. You know, as churches across the board, we're doing more than we ever have done before in regards to kids and young people in our churches. And we got there's youth pastors, kids pastors, there's camps, there's programs, there's curriculums, there's all sorts of ministries that are happening. And yet, it's fair to say that, you know, more and more young people are walking away from faith and the church. This is not something that's solved by appointing the right staff person or starting the right program. You know, there's a quote that I heard recently that for 1900 years of Christianity, we were home-centered and church-supported. But now, we are church-centered and home-supported. And this is not the biblical way. You know, all the way back in Deuteronomy, who would have thought you could learn something from Deuteronomy, right? I know that's what you're saying. But all the way back in Deuteronomy, we get a picture about discipleship. I want to read it to you. It's Moses as he's beginning to give the law to the people. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestor, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. You see, discipleship at home. This is not about adding more to your to-do list. This is about inviting Jesus into everything that you already do. In fact, when Moses told the people of Israel how to pass on their faith to the next generation, did you hear that at the end there, the last verse I read? He tells them to do it. He says, do it when you're sitting at home and when you're walking along the road, when you're lying down and when you're getting up. These are the most mundane and everyday occurrences and times and activities. And Moses is saying, this is how you are to impress these truths on your children in the everyday, at home, when you're walking along the road. These are the times in which we are told to pass on our faith. And so what we've done is we've taken faith out of the home and we've isolated it in a communal building for an hour or so a week. And what we need to be doing is doing all that we can to take it back home. You know, often we search for answers and we're like, I don't know how to do this. And what I love about that passage in Deuteronomy is that we're not only told what to do in terms of the commands of loving God and loving others, and that we are to impress them on our children, but how do we do that? Well, Moses explains it. Talk about it. Talk about it when you're at home. Talk about it when you're walking along the road. Talk about it when you lie down, when you wake up. This is about impressing and passing on our faith in the home as the primary way that kids learn and engage with Christian faith. As I said, too often as churches, I think we need to bear some of the responsibility that we have taken faith out of the home to provide solid religious goods and services, rather than trying to support and empower and equip homes and families to do what they've been called to do by God. You know, one of the small ways that we're going to seek to do that over the next couple of weeks as a church is I've got a gift for whoever wants to take one. It's called Easter at Home. It's a resource that I've bought from the Association of the Baptist Churches in New South Wales and ACT, and it's filled with ways for kids to engage with the Easter story at home through cooking stuff, through making stuff, through stories. And I see this as one way of seeking to take faith back home. So I'm going to be standing up at the back at the end and just handing them out as you leave this morning. And I'll also be at the back willing to take down names and email addresses and numbers of people who want to find out more and to be involved in Kids Church as well. But I want to take this opportunity now to pray for us and pray for us into this next week, and then Cassie and the team will come and lead us as we close. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for the example and the teaching that you gave us, that everyone matters. Everyone finds value and belongs with you. And I just pray simply, Lord God, that you would help us live that out more this week than we did last week. We would do that more as individuals in our daily lives. We would do that more as a collective, as Lismore Baptist Church. And then we would do that more and more and more and more. Not for our own glory, but for yours, Lord God. That we would continue to point people towards you and to the truth that you reign. And I pray that as your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven, and that this week, Lord God, that you would provide for us our daily needs and give us opportunities to value, acknowledge, and celebrate the journey of faith that kids are on. And I thank you for that now, and I pray that in Jesus' name.